Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good Friday morning, everybody. Big show for you today. Noah Hiles going to join us from 8 o'clock until 9. Tony Bisilli going to join us at 9:30 until the end of the show. Big celebrity softball game taking place on Monday. Pony and Muller are going to broadcast prior to the celebrity softball game. And it is going to be a cavalcade of stars, including our very own Doran Dickerson, Cam Hayward putting the thing on. So we'll get into all that fun at 9:30. Noah Hiles broke the internet yesterday. He answered questions in a mailbag, and he knows how to write a grabby headline, Doran. Here's what he wrote. Quote, "If I had to make a bet right now, I think 2026 will be Skeens' final full year in Pittsburgh." Oh, my God. Now, I want to be fair to Noah, and Noah will be able to explain himself when he's on with us at 8. He went on here, I'll give him some context. There looks to be a lockout looming in 2027, which will likely result in at least a few less games that regular season. And after that year, we're really approaching the time for the Pirates to make a move. What it all really comes down to is how well the Pirates play in the next two seasons. Regardless of the sports economic future, I still don't think we're close to getting a salary cap. Skeens wants to play for a winner. He's not signing an extension with this team if they're not a legitimate threat to compete in the postseason. And if they're not playing to that level after 2027, then it would be in their best interest to trade him anyway. End quote. I've always thought we'd have Skeens for 5 years. And this has it at parts of four seasons. He wasn't here for the full season last year. We got the full season this year. We'll get the full season next year. And then according to Noah, you will not get a full 2027. That is four seasons, and he'll basically play then three seasons worth of baseball games in 4 years. Uh-huh. And then they'll move off of him. Uh-huh. And what that made me think is, and I'm asking, I don't want to throw hot takes out here on a Friday morning. I really don't. I want to have a positive, fun, sort of zany show. Zany sports talk radio morning show, Doran. Is this all that different than TJ Watt? Like, the argument for not paying Watt, the argument for trading Watt, is you're not going to win with him. You might as well get something for him. Because you squint and you think about these Steelers, and are they going to win a Super Bowl the next 3 years? Probably not. 41-year-old quarterback this year, rookie next year, and then second year maybe, but at that point, what is TJ? That would be the difference between he and Skeens. You got Skeens for his prime.
Right.
For however long he's here, he's going to be as good as he's been, if not better, you would have to think. But if you're not going to win with Skeens, if he's only going to be here for parts of two more years, and they're as far away as they are, what's the damn point? Eat at Arby's. 412-928-9370. I'm just spitballing.
Well, what's the point is, like, is he's going to draw and he's going to sell. You know, I mean, you got to look at it like, you know, we talked about the business side of football yesterday, business side of sports. Like, he's your draw. He's the reason why people come to the ballpark. If you're not going to win, and you know you're not going to win, you need to have something that brings people in that you could create revenue. TJ Watt is a little bit different. Like,
yes.
He's not creating the revenue. Like, people aren't going to the game to just watch TJ Watt.
Nah, they're going to go anyway.
They're going to go anyway. But there are teams out there where people do, you know, it's just different positions. Like, you know, in baseball, you're going to go watch a, you know, dominating pitcher. In football, you're going to watch a dominating quarterback. In basketball, you're going to have a, you know, that's a little bit different. You got a couple guys maybe that could dominate that you want to go see. So I think that TJ Watt and Skeens' situation are very different because Skeens is still going to draw, so you want to keep him around as long as possible.
And the Steelers, agree or disagree, they feel like they can win, and they feel like it'll obviously be, at least this is how I think they feel, much harder to win without a guy who's a Defensive Player of the Year candidate every year. I understand the point on Skeens boosting the attendance every fifth day, and I think they view it like that. But if you're not going to win with him, and maybe they think they can, you might as well trade him to try to get a bunch of players in here, and then maybe you can win. I don't know that I actually feel that way, but if we're shrinking the window of Skeens being here, I feel more like that than I did if I was under the assumption he's going to be here for three more full years.
I just can't wrap my mind around thinking that you can't win with a generational pitcher, and then also on the flip side, thinking that maybe your possibility of winning rises if you trade away that pitcher to get other players.
Baseball's dumb.
It is.
It's really dumb.
It is really dumb, but like it just, that just doesn't make any sense to me, and especially after the situation that we saw in Washington.
Right. And the conversation really should be now, if Noah is correct, and Mackey went on PM yesterday and he said he doesn't think that's going to be the case. So reasonable pirate covering minds can have different takes on this. But let's say Noah is right. What a massive missed opportunity. And you've been saying this forever. Last year's trade deadline was. And what a massive missed opportunity this offseason was. If Noah is correct, basically half of Paul Skeens' time here has been flushed down the tubes. And I saw something when I woke up this morning that infuriated me, Doran. You know who got named to the Home Run Derby?
Brent Rooker.
Yes. And
Chaz Chisel.
Bingo.
Those are the two guys that we were talking about at the deadline last year.
And at least Chisholm got moved. Or I should say, at least Rooker didn't get moved. And so you could say, they were never going to trade him. Although I'm sure if you blew him away with an offer, you could have had that guy.
They were in turmoil, but they were very vulnerable at the time because they were bad. I mean, their team is moving.
They don't even have a city right now. Like, they're just referred to as the Athletics.
This is a perfect opportunity last year at the time to get, you know, to push your chips in to get a guy like Brent Rooker.
And all of a sudden, Bubba Chandler is pitching much better, but I'm guessing if you had parted with a Bubba Chandler, you could have had one of those guys. And if you had really gone all in, you could have potentially had both of those guys.
Yes.
I'm talking about pushing all your chips to the middle of the table, and why didn't you? You had Paul Skeens as a Rookie of the Year, Paul Skeens as an NL Cy Young finalist. You had, at the time, Jared Jones. You still had Mitch Keller, and you do right now. And you were in the thick of it. They collapsed down the stretch, but they collapsed in part because IKF was below a replacement level player for them last year. And oh my God, if there's below replacement level player, that's what Brian De La Cruz was.
Yep.
You could add Jazz Chisholm in center field for you. You could have left O'Neill Cruz at short, or you could have moved Cruz to center and you could have had Jazz Chisholm as your second baseman. And then it's not the best thing, but maybe you move Gonzalez to short. There was no urgency.
None.
And in year six of a rebuild, and I guess last year five, in year five of a rebuild, when you haven't had a winning season, you don't even need to have Paul Skeens to think, let's get on our horse here. But you did have Paul Skeens, and you didn't get on your horse. And this offseason, you didn't get on your horse. And now you got Noah Hyles saying it could be just a year and a half more of Paul Skeens in Pittsburgh. This offseason, you really got to go for it. And that's where the conversation is. And I have to point to ownership here. Okay, I understand the economics of baseball. I understand the way that Bob Nutting has run this organization. I'm not saying spend $150 million every year. Can you not do it the next three?
I mean, come on.
The Marlins have done that a bunch, Doran. It's not my favorite business model, but they handed Stanton a $300 million contract. They knew he was never going to see the end of that in Florida. So you eat that for a couple of years, you got to pay that out, but you're not paying it for a decade. How do you not pour everything into this ball club for 3 years? And then if you have to roll out $30 million payrolls for 7 years,
so be it.
Ain't nobody going to like it at the time, but at least you could say we went for it when you had one of the best pitchers in the history of the game? It's feasible.
Mm-hmm.
It is feasible. And you will have the attendance numbers to boot. I reference this all the time. 2013, they're winning, and they had a top five attendance in the history of Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, which spans 125 years, a top five attendance, because they were winning. So that's going to offset some of the costs, too. Just go pot committed to spending as much money as you can. It's going to make you uncomfortable for 3 years. And then go back to operating the way that you've operated. But this is Haley's comment. You're never going to have a pitcher this good, ever. No. They have never had a pitcher as good as Paul Skeens. In our lifetime, they'll never have it. And in the next 100 years, they'll probably never have it. A guy that you draft that comes in that is that good right from the shoot. It's not like there was even a ramp-up period. Like you see it with the Reds and Hunter Green. He wasn't so great from the start. You saw it with the Pirates. Mitch Keller wasn't so great from the start. You saw it with Tarik Skubal. Pretty good, but not great at the start. This guy, feet on the ground, running. And you've wasted now 2 years.
Yep.
412-928-9370. I have a little nugget on O'Neill Cruz, actually, in the Home Run Derby, Doran.
Oh, yeah?
Which we'll get to coming up next. But how does it make you feel when Noah Hyles says 2026 will be the last full season you get out of Paul Skeens? 412-928-9370.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring Podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring Podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Zero. Craig Riley on his way to vacation today, so he gets to listen to the whole show live. Hopefully we don't put our boss to sleep. You know Craig, too. I don't think our man likes taking vacations. I don't. And it's not because he doesn't love his family or anything like that. Craig is a wonderful family man, but Craig is married to the job. And mm-hmm. Craig is always all about content. So you know he's going to drive to the beach. He's going to get there. He's going to put his...
Earpod.
Yes.
Yep.
And he's going to put his toes in the water, his ass in the sand, not a worry in the world, a cold beer in his hand, except he's going to break down our entire show.
Yep.
Like, at some point this weekend, he's going to give us copious notes on this show today. So, Harry, you better be on your best behavior, big guy. You better be ready to perform.
I always am.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to his wife for listening, too.
Says yeah, now she's trapped.
Yeah. But he said she doesn't kids. Really listen that much, and she's listening today. So, good.
Hi, Rachel.
I got a question, actually. Since you said ass in the sand.
Yeah.
Do you think sand feels different on a bald head? Is it, like, better or worse? I just thought came to my head, that question.
When's sand getting on a bald head?
Well, Craig, he's going to be at the beach, right?
I know, but when does it get on his head?
Well, you ever, like, come out of the water and, like, you fell, or maybe you laid in the sand and, like, there's hair on the back of your head or there's sand on the back of your head?
No, I think Harry brings up a good point. So the last time I went to the beach was at the tail end of COVID, and I had Chris Letang hair, except not attractive. It was down to my shoulders, and I would wear it up in a man bun and ponytail and all that. And I brought half the beach home with me every single time we got back to the house.
In your hair?
Yeah, because you're swimming in the water, and you're playing with the kids, and you're rolling around, and then you're playing spike ball, you're throwing a ball.
Well, that's different. That's different than bald.
Yeah, exactly. Craig doesn't have to deal with that.
Right.
Like, Craig comes home from the beach, it's like coming home from work.
Yes.
There's nothing up there.
Yeah, just washing his, like, arms. It's like the same equivalent.
That's right. That's an advantage that he has in life. You know, people talk bad on the bald. You don't got to talk bad on the bald when it comes to the beach. And your hair, like, you don't got to worry about it. You got nice short cropped hair. Me too now. Like, it's not a big deal. But if you're bald, that's not even something you think about. Now, on the flip side, you got to sunscreen that sucker.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
I'd be putting Elmer's glue on that dome.
Yep.
And wearing a hat. Imagine getting, like, third degree sunburn right on the top of your head.
Do you think Craig gets in the water?
To pee? To cool down?
That's it? I don't think he gets in at all.
I could see him much more of as a lounger and less of like a body surfing, boogie boarding kind of guy.
Yeah. Like, he's not going in past his knees, in my opinion.
No.
Neither am I.
I used to. And now, like, as a kid, you don't think about this. And you can call us about the Pirates, 412-928-9370. But why depress everybody at 6:25 in the morning? as a kid, you don't think about the vast unknown that is the Atlantic Ocean.
See, that's the difference between me and you, because I was always a Jaws fan growing up, so I knew what was out there.
So you never have been a big get in the ocean
no.
guy.
Okay. No, I know what's out there. I know what's out there. You know, I'm going in 2 weeks, and I am not getting
in the water. You're not
getting the water? No.
How far do you let the kids get in?
See, like, that's interesting, because I mean, I'm not the best swimmer either, and, like, if I have to go in there and try to save you, if the shark, like,
it might be all screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they might be on their own.
You know what did it for me?
They'll go in maybe up to their stomach.
See, that's as far as I ever really went in, unless you'd find one of them sandbars out there, and you'd hang out on that thing, and you'd have to wade out to that, but now that gives me the heebie-jeebies. When Steve Irwin died, that was it for me.
Yeah.
I mean, you take a barb from a stingray in the chest. I don't need that in my life.
But I'm sick, though. Like, I want. Sometimes I want my kids to feel my pain, which is messed up, but it's in a fun way. Like, I will watch Jaws, make them watch Jaws before we go. Like, literally the day before we leave, like, I'd be like, guys, let's watch Jaws, just so they did have a refresher. Like, all right, you sure you want to get in?
Dude. As a kid after watching Jaws, you don't even want to get in the pool.
Exactly.
I ain't wading to the deep end. Who the hell knows what's over there?
Mm-hmm. Messed up.
That's why I like going to Lake Erie. I had family up there.
See?
Still do have family up there. And there's not any crazy creatures in the lake.
Oh, there sure is. There's brain-eating amoebas, dude.
There's all kinds of stuff in there.
Well, they got these.
Those freshwater amoebas, they'll go right into your brain and it'll eat it. Seriously, look it up.
The seagulls are crazy up there. I've never been afraid. I also haven't been to like a clear ocean in a while, but I'm not as afraid.
With
I'll
all
get
due
in
respect,
a clear ocean, like the you know, the
Caribbean.
I'll do that because I could see.
I don't think, and this, I don't mean this to be offensive. I really don't. I don't think a shark comes up on Harry. I think a shark comes up
the
on.
The shark is licking its lips if they see Harry.
No, because I don't think it's thinking about a five course meal with Harry.
I mean, do you go for the juicier chicken wing or
exactly.
the thinner one? I mean, I'm just saying.
The chicken wing ain't going to fight back. But this shark, man, if you are in moderately deep water, this shark sees a me or it sees a you. And I think it sees a you as a threat. I think a shark comes up on Harry Callis and goes, I mean, if there's nothing else, I'm going to go after this guy. But if it's the only thing I mean it the other way around.
I mean,
is a bigger ant a threat to you than a smaller ant, Growly?
Yeah.
I mean, like, think about ants, though. Like, I mean, the point there was that ants are small either way. So despite the size of the ant.
I think a shark comes up on you and goes,
I think a shark rolls up on Callis and thinks Golden Corral. Old Country Buffet.
Okay, now I'm not a whole buffet.
In a shark's mind, big. It's like, all right, like I'm eating good.
I'm just the juicier choice. I'm a juicy
this
choice, Crowley. Don't be jealous.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. The nugget I have on the Home Run Derby is O'Neill Cruz now the betting favorite to win that sucker. O'Neill Cruz, the favorite to win the Derby. And I know a lot of people have argued that, oh, it's going to be a great show. I do think O'Neill Cruz will put on a show, and I do think he's got a damn good chance to win. I also don't think the names associated with this Home Run Derby this season are going to have people watch it from the outset.
Right.
So the people who do watch are going to be intrigued. I don't think you're bringing any new viewers. If you have Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani and all these big names, I think people are more than likely going to turn it on because there's nothing on. But I don't think anybody's turning on the Home Run Derby going, oh, I got to watch O'Neill Cruz.
Right. I got to watch Acuna Jr. I got to watch Riley or whatever, Rally.
Brent Rooker. He's not a name. Right. Jazz Chisholm plays in New York. Okay, fair enough. He's not a superstar. Cal Raleigh, the big dumper, is the biggest draw, I think.
Just because of what he's doing now.
Yes.
But
because
I mean,
he's putting up Bonzian first half of the season numbers.
This is what we talked about a little bit yesterday, or maybe the day before. I feel like Major League Baseball needs to almost mandate that if you are a part of the All-Star game, we get to select who is a part of the Home Run Derby to make the Home Run Derby better. Like if Judge is a part of the All-Star game, Ohtani, like you have to play if we pick you to play.
Yes. If you want people to watch.
Right.
Yes, I think they've put together what will be an entertaining field. But I don't think you're getting as many people to watch from the beginning as you would if you had a bunch of big names.
Absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Texter, Craig might fire Crowley after listening to his Cruz home run derby takes. I mean, do people disagree with that? I don't think he's going to be a draw. I think he'll be wildly entertaining. I think he might hit 50 bombs over the course of the evening. And then next year, if he's in it, I think he's appointment viewing. But I don't think your average Major League Baseball fan, I don't think most of them know much about O'Neill Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a great opportunity for him to get his name out there. But I don't think he's bringing people to the show. Harry, I'm going to ask you this. I don't want you to be offended. Can I put that out as a Twitter poll? Is a shark more likely to eat Harry or Crowley?
Why do you act like I'm offended by everything? I mean, you didn't. Well, you didn't bring it up. No, I'm offended by your take. Yeah, but put it up as a Twitter poll. Let's see what people think.
Well, I just don't. Do you want the social media?
I love the buzzer on that. Just make sure you tag my account.
I will.
Tell everybody what my account is, right? At Callus underscore 33. Make sure you follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can post whatever you want.
Sure. And you can follow all of us on Twitter. Brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southsidekia.net.
Southhillskia.net. Thank you.
Thank you, Harry. Fan Morning Show Twitter polls brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. If a shark comes up on me and Harry Callus in the Atlantic Ocean, which of us is he more likely to eat? You can vote at underscore Adam Crowley.
I mean, who looks more like a seal? I was trying hard not to, but I just had to because I know about sharks and sharks like seals. And who looks more like a seal? I think that's how you kind of determine.
I got the curves.
Who, the shark's going to go after.
And what do you think about Noah Hiles saying there's only a year and a half left of Skeens at Pittsburgh? 412-928-9370. There are a bunch of callers, so we'll get to Yin's coming up next.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Noah Hiles says in his Post-Gazette Pirates chat that 2026 will be the last full season Paul Skeens pitches in a Pirates uniform. How does it make you feel? 412-928-9370. We'll get to Tommy and Ross Township in a couple of moments, as well as some others who are waiting patiently on hold. A texter writes in, Crowley, I don't think you understand how popular a player O'Neill Cruz is nationally. Huh? I mean, am I wrong? Do people think of O'Neill Cruz as this massive household name? I think people know who he is. I think the majority of casuals probably don't think about him very much at all.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. Like, is Ellie De La Cruz...
You know, I think he's a bigger name than O'Neill.
Right.
Yeah, because they've been good this year. And when he came on to the scene, they got real hot right when he was called up. And he was stealing bases and hitting triples and hitting home runs. And I think he entered the lexicon real quick. Now, I do get that Cruz is the StatCast hero. So maybe I'm underselling him a little bit. But I don't know that he's this massive draw. Well, someone else writes in, guys, if you have a home run derby filled with all-stars, those guys aren't going to try. I totally disagree. These are competitive athletes.
Yeah.
These are professional athletes. Plus, Bonds has won a home run derby. Ken Griffey Jr. has won a home run derby. Sosa, McGuire, all the big names from a certain era won the home run derby. Dave Parker in 1985 won the first ever home run derby. There have been a ton of big names that have entered into this event and won this event. 412-928-9370. Shall we go to Tommy?
Sure.
To Tommy. Hello, Tommy.
Why, good morning, gentlemen. As all Pirate fans should plainly be able to see now, it doesn't matter if the manager is Derek Shelton, Donnie Kelly, you, or me. This team needs quality, everyday players.
Sure.
And I was just reading that the Dodgers are willing to give the Buccos six players. Now, I don't know how great all these six players are, But if they certainly would pass, you know, the quality test, I would jump on that in a heartbeat, okay?
Well, here's the thing about that, Tommy. And we went over this yesterday because ESPN put together three trade offers that might get the Pirates to move Skeens. And thank you for the call, 412-928-9370. In 2 years, you're going to still get a massive haul for Paul Skeens. A massive haul for Paul Skeens. There is no reason for my money to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
See what you can do with Skeens. See if you can win with Skeens. And if you can't, you can move him for much more than you got for Gerrit Cole. Much more. He's a significantly better player than Gerrit Cole was. He has, through 2 years, been the best pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball. So whether it's now or later, you're going to get a ton for that guy.
Yeah.
So why not do it later? As for the managerial position, I don't love looking at it that way. Yes, you need better players to win more baseball games. That is the most important thing in any sport. You need good players. You need more good players. But if this team should ever get enough good players to be on the cusp of contention, a good manager is winning you 5 to 8 games a year. And those 5 to 8 games for a small market team, they could mean everything.
Yeah, important.
And I think Donnie Kelly has it. I do think Donnie Kelly is a good manager and would win in the right spot. So far, 60% of people are voting that Callis would be the first victim of a great white shark.
Yep.
Our official fan morning show account also said that.
Don't you run that account? This guy's got all the power over here.
Is he laughing that he's the one that's going to be eaten? Like, what is he laughing? Why is he laughing?
It would be I'm saying the shark's first choice would be me. No, I think I'd also, somebody brought up a good point. You'd probably squirm in fear, and I would be more calm in the face of danger.
You're just going to take it?
Right.
Take what?
Getting eaten.
Your untimely demise.
No, it would choose me to eat first. That doesn't mean I'd die. I'd fight it off, I'm sure.
Maybe. What? What are you talking about? You'd fight off a shark and survive.
What's your game plan?
Punch it in the nose? Yeah.
That's the idea. You punch it in the nose.
That's a myth.
You punch it in the nose and you scream underwater. You go, ooh.
You don't want to make noise. Attracted to noise.
Let's say that it's not a myth, right? That punching it in the nose actually works. I've always found that that is a difficult task.
Yes.
Because you're underwater. How much power can you really generate in a punch if you're submerged underwater?
Well, if you're somebody that doesn't have muscle like you, then yeah, it's going to be tougher to generate the power.
You can't punch as hard underwater as you can over water.
It's even more than that.
Or I'll just poke it in the eyes. I'll grab a pencil and just poke it in the eye.
You got, okay, so why, so tell me, okay, you know, see, now you guys got me all riled up. What, so the punching of a shark in the nose underwater,
mm-hmm.
Why it would never work. Tell me the one reason why people are scared of sharks.
Bleeding out in the middle of the ocean?
What do sharks do?
They'll rip you up with their giant teeth.
Right. Don't they open their mouth a lot? And that's why you're scared, those big teeth?
Yeah.
And they'd like to bite? So you're going to try to punch a shark in the nose underwater while it opens its mouth?
I think the only chance you have is it's got to already have you in its jaws.
And then you just kind of punch down on it.
Then you punch down.
Well, you're going to get something, a limb is going to go.
Right.
Well, we're talking about, like, am I getting eaten whole? Or can I survive a shark attack? I think that I could do it.
You're not getting eaten whole, Harry. Certainly you are not. And
so
what
are you saying?
Either.
It's going to be more full if it eats me? Like, it's not going to be able to finish the whole thing? Finish the whole meal?
The way a shark eats isn't it's going to eat you whole. It's probably just going to take a limb off and keep going because apparently they don't like the taste of the human.
They don't like a taste of the human, but they will try to drag you down and you'll get dragged down and drowned too.
Not if I poke it in the eye with a pencil. I'm just saying.
You have a pencil in your hand because you're swimming with a pencil.
I always swim with pencils. Didn't you know this? Who doesn't?
Number two?
Always a number two.
Ticonderoga, right to the eye. Texter, Noah has a good take, but if there's a lockout in 2027 and a salary cap, then there is zero reason the Pirates couldn't re-sign Skeens. Well, here's the problem, Texter. There ain't going to be no salary cap.
Floor.
Could be a floor, but you're not paying him $600 million. It's just not going to happen. And as Noah wrote in his mailbag, Skeens also wants to win. So the shot that you would have to keep him is if, yeah, they would institute a salary cap and you won in the interim. And I'm not sure either of those things are going to happen, unfortunately. Texter, poking a shark in the eye causes it to go in shock. Here's the thing. Everyone's got a plan. The old adage, right, for a boxer. Everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face. You're not getting punched in the face. You've got millions of pounds of force and teeth coming down on one of your extremities. And now you got to think through what the hell I'm going to do.
Yep.
We have no shot. That's not the question. The question isn't which of us could survive a shark attack. We're both going down. The shark is like minus 5,000 to kill us. It's who's it go for first at 412-928-9370.
Okay, here's the scenario.
Who's a better swimmer, you think, out of the two of you?
Harry's a good athlete, and he's obsessed with pools. So it might be him.
I used to be on the Greenery Great White Sharks, actually, the swim team, for 3 years. I wasn't very good, but I do know how to swim well.
Do you swim well?
Yeah, I can swim. I was on the Guppies back in the day.
The Guppies versus the Great White Sharks. It's just fitting that you'd be on a swim organization called the Guppies.
Isn't that whenever you're like five?
That's right.
Yeah.
Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Well, get some of your carryover Pirate takes coming up in the next segment. But the Penguins made a trade yesterday, and we try to make sense of said trade. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. It is list season, and thus ESPN is just throwing a bunch of stuff at the wall and seeing if it sticks. They've graded NFL offseasons, Doran. What did they give the Steelers, and why is their reasoning crap? I'll tell you why it's crap at the top of the next hour. Penguins made a trade yesterday. They got Matt Dumba from Minnesota. They had to give up that guy whose name I couldn't pronounce, and now I'm happy he's not a Penguin. Konal Yachuk. Mm. One last farewell to Konal Yachuk. Mm. And they got a 2028 second-round pick. This is a guy who stinks, who is getting paid $3.75 million this year. Minnesota thinks they could be good. The Penguins obviously do not. He is going to help them actively stink, all for $3.75 million, and you get another second-round draft choice. So the Penguins now, if you look at the next three drafts, they have 18 first, second, and third-round picks. And I'm guessing they're going to flip this guy at the deadline because he's one of these tough dudes.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to probably yield them a second or a third round pick. And you're going to add another one. I just don't know how long this rebuild's going to last, though.
I know, right?
Like, are you going to flip some of these 2028ers so that you can get good players the next couple of years after this one? I don't know. But I heard Bechtold say the other day, I hear Starkey say all the time, are the Penguins rebuilding? I don't know. They got one foot in, one foot out. No, they don't. This is absolutely a rebuild. 19 picks, actually, in the top three rounds the next 3 years.
Wow.
So there you go. That's the Matt Dumba trade in a nutshell. A texter writes in, I know Harry's talking to intern RJ back there, and he's trying to teach. Harry, I think you're going to want to hear this. 93.7 The Fan Universe wants to hear Doran do an impression of TK fighting a shark.
TK fighting a shark. Oh, man. Hey, listen, boys. Boys, listen. Let me tell you a story, boys. I was at the beach, and I saw like a spike that popped out of the water. I guess they call it like a dorsal fin. And I was, I was freaked out. I was freaked out, boys. And then he tried to attack me, and I told him, the only shark I know is San Jose. Listen, I played there. It was awful. This shark grabbed my leg, boys, and I couldn't walk for a month. I couldn't walk. I escaped, though. I did. I told him about the playoff. Back in 2008, boys.
and it smiled at me. It smiled. Boy, I tried to punch it in the nose, like LaRock taught me. It didn't work, boys.
And then you've got Starkey. This is incredulent.
And they have fresh fish.
They have fresh fish.
It was Dallas, not Minnesota, where they got Dumba. I'm sure that's what all of you out there were thinking. Dumba, a long time a member of the Wild. My apologies there. Yeah, it was Dallas. Sorry about that. Couldn't walk for a month, boys.
Couldn't walk for a month. How'd I get to the hospital?
You can't. You broke.
They rushed me to the hospital, boys. It was a scene.
I saw a shark in the water.
Good thing Crosby wasn't in there. They need him this year with Dumba.
It was Brent Burns. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Did you see what happened to Najee Harris?
I heard about that, yeah.
All right, we got to get into that at some point in the 7 o'clock hour. He's going to be okay. There's a fireworks mishap. So obviously we are all hoping that things work out all right there for Najee Harris, but we'll get into that in the 7 o'clock hour. Coming up next, ESPN list season. They graded the Steelers offseason, and some of the reasoning was bunk. Tell you why. What did they give the rest of the AFC North opponents for their offseasons? We'll get into all that. First, though, fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.